This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. And for our, boy, we've got a happy Monday. We've got a lot of news today that we're going to get to. Congressman Ro Khanna is here for our first hour, taking your calls at 202-808-9925. The hate groups are not only not so much showing up in D.C., but on the flip side, they're doing spectacularly and infiltrating our college campuses and media. This is the story that is basically not being told in our corporate media. And what most Americans really want. We'll be getting into all these things as the day goes on. But to start off with, for our first hour, Congressman Ro Khanna. He represents California's 17th district. Khanna, K-H-A-N-N-A dot house dot gov is his website. You can tweet him at Rep, as in representative, Rep Ro, R-O, Khanna, K-H-A-N-N-A. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
I appreciate it. Always enjoy being back on.
And I should add, you are the vice chair, as I recall, of the Congressional Progressive Caucus?
I am.
Cool. So I'm curious, you know, broadly, what's on your radar these days? And the, you know, two of the big stories internationally, it seems like we're in the middle of a massive destruction of human rights, or destruction of humans in Yemen, collaborating with the Saudis. And also, I'm curious your take on what we saw in Washington, D.C. over the weekend.
Sure. Well, I appreciate your bringing up the Yemen situation. It's the largest humanitarian crisis right now in the world, comparable in some cases to what Rwanda was like. I had, with Mark Pocan, introduced a war powers resolution about a year ago to stop the United States from aiding the Saudis in their indiscriminate bombing of Yemen. We're basically fueling their planes. We're helping them with targeting assistance. Senator Sanders had introduced a companion resolution in the Senate. Unfortunately, it failed in the Senate. We haven't gotten a vote in the House. But the situation has gotten worse. I mean, just this past couple of weeks, you can't help but be horrified. Bombing of young kids, bombing of civilians, nearly 10 million Yemenis facing possible famine or malnourishment and cholera, millions facing cholera. So as soon as Congress gets back, I'm going to try to introduce another war powers resolution to stop the United States from aiding the Saudis in this atrocity and get them to agree to Griffith's plan. Griffith is the UN special envoy there and has a very reasonable plan, which I think the parties can come around. In terms of the hate speech, I would just say two things of these hate groups. I mean, one, it was heartening to see the counter-protesters vastly outnumber those who were marching for bigoted right-wing ideology. But you're absolutely right about these groups having tried to infiltrate our college campuses, and I think we have to be vigilant to not let them appropriate the language of patriotism or to be ignorant of American history. Let me give you one example. When the president talked about how he wants immigrants just from Norway and not the other countries, I think he hasn't read Lincoln in 1858 during July 4th. Lincoln gave a speech actually arguing that immigrants from Scandinavia, from Norway, should be part of the American family because back then they weren't considered American, and the argument was that they couldn't trace their roots all the way back to the founding. And Lincoln said, no, the Scandinavians are Americans too, even though they don't have ancestors in the founding, because they are linked by the famous line, the electric cord that connects us all to the Declaration of Independence. So we actually have American history on our side and patriotism on our side, and I think it's really important we share those examples because the right wing is out there to tell a very distorted view of American patriotism on our college campuses.
Yeah, I've got a piece here in the Washington Post that writes, in the past 15 months, organizations such as the Traditionalist Worker Party, Identity Europa, American Renaissance, and Vanguard America directed campaigns at more than 200 college campuses in 42 states. Matthew Heimbach said, you know, who started the Traditionalist Workers Party, white-only party, said it's striking a blow directly at the heart of our foes, and points out that his organization, the membership in his organization, has tripled in the past year. What do you think is the most effective way to push back against this sort of thing, this kind of hate? We're talking with Congressman Ro Khanna, by the way, the number 202-808-9925. He's with us for the hour, taking your calls. Congressman?
Well, I think it's, of course, one, counter-mobilization. So we need to have people at the college campuses for our perspective. But one thing I would point out is we shouldn't just do it in terms of generic philosophy or ethnic studies or humanities. A lot of times the more liberal perspectives get framed in a cosmopolitan framework, which is great, but you actually don't need that. You could actually have American history classes properly understood talking about what patriotism really means, because what the right is doing is just distorting American history. And so I personally think we ought to have classes, mobilization on speakers on college campuses to reclaim the proper narrative of American history.
Yeah, it seems like a good idea. And with regard to Yemen, is there a partisan dimension to this?
You know, one of the interesting things is it's somewhat bipartisan in that you have people like Rand Paul and Walter Jones or Congressman Yoho, folks who have been skeptical of interventionism abroad, supportive of an effort to restrain our aid to the Saudis. But, of course, the legal support, by that I mean Paul Ryan in the House and McConnell in the Senate, are very beholden to the alliance with the Saudis. And the reason for that is, one, the administration's policy, but two, they are just reflexively anti-Iran, and they have been willing to have a bargain with the Saudis to counter Iran, and in my view, setting us up for another possible war with Iran. And that's why people should really care about this Yemen situation, because it's a proxy war between the Saudis and Iran in Yemen, and we've come in heavily on the side of the Saudis, and it's inching us to a greater conflict with Iran.
Yeah, it's so true. Congressman, I'm not sure exactly why, but from time to time, your voice kind of fades out and gets digitally weird. I don't know if you've got a microphone in front of you.
I apologize. Maybe I probably just moved the phone. I'll be more careful.
Okay. That. All right, let's pick up some phone calls. They're pouring in. Glenn in Hesperia, California. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
How you doing, Congressman? It might be a little different. What I'm concerned about and talking about is the demonstration that was supposed to be in Washington that the alt-right got together over the weekend. And all I've been hearing on the news is how many people that didn't show up. My concern is the one that did show up. My concern is the one that didn't show up. I feel like if they organized that demonstration, and took them weeks to organize it, and for them to turn around and disorganize it in a short period of time, and we wasn't aware of it, that seemed to be kind of frightening. I just wanted your opinion of that. That's something I should be concerned about.
Interesting. I mean, my understanding is that they organized this and they didn't get much of a turnout. Are you saying that they actually tried to call it off, or is your point that they didn't get the turnout they were expecting?
He's off the phone. I think his point was that the leaders of the movement are disagreeing with the guys who are, you know, hey, let's go have a rally. And well, I'm not sure exactly what his point was. I think it had something to do with that.
I mean, to the broader point, I mean, I think it's unsettling that these kind of initiatives are taking place in the America of 2018. And one thing the Trump administration has done is exposed a underside of America where racism and bigotry in the past was underneath the surface. It's now all out in the open. And that it does present some opportunity. At least these views are exposed. At least no one is naive that we're in some post-racial society. We still know that race is a big issue in this country. And I would just say we all have to be more vigilant in making the case for an inclusive, pluralistic America and not take it for granted that we've arrived at that place.
Monty in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You're on the air with Congressman Ro Khanna.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I appreciate it. My question is just what we're seeing now. Obviously, Heather Heyer was murdered by a Trump supporter. We're seeing the Waffle House shooter was a right-wing Trump supporter. You're seeing Trump lock kids up in cages. They're being drugged. They're being tortured. There's an article out now that's saying that over 15,000 innocent civilians were killed last year in airstrikes, up 42% from Obama's last year. My question is, why aren't the Democrats focusing on either criminal negligence, crimes against humanity, torturing these kids? I mean, Trump is torturing and killing innocent civilians in record numbers. Why isn't the Democratic Party someone saying, hey, look, these are crimes against humanity? I mean, I don't understand how he could just torture these kids, how Trump supporters are killing innocent Americans, and the Democrat as a group is not saying, hey, listen, what's happening here is he's inciting violence and he's torturing people and people are getting hurt in record numbers.
Got it, Monty.
Why in you? Thank
got
you.
It.
Well, I appreciate your passion, and I agree with a lot of what you've said. I mean, Yemen is a classic case of that, where it's our bombs, our refueling, that is literally responsible for the deaths of thousands of Yemenis, for kids being malnourished. And you're absolutely right. Whatever one thinks of Obama's foreign policy, he was very careful about the strikes and trying to minimize civilian casualty. Now, I don't agree with all of his decisions. I was opposed to some of the invasions, but he took that very seriously. And Trump, as you point out, has taken all of those restrictions off the military. He celebrates that. It's one of the reasons that I voted against giving him any military increases in the defense budget. I think that should be something all Democrats should be able to agree on, that we shouldn't be funding increases to the military to allow the president to do what he wants, and we need more oversight. So I agree with you, and we'll fight for that.
Thank you. Congressman Ro Khanna taking your calls.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Congressman Ro Khanna taking your calls here in the first hour Monday of the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be back with more of your calls for the congressman right after this. And welcome back. Joe in Cupertino, California, watching us on Free Speech TV. Joe, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Congressman Khanna, Tom, having a great day. I had a question. I saw a report in HuffPost this over the weekend that apparently there's been a change to the wording in the Democratic Central Committee with Tom Perez's endorsement, allowing the Democrats to accept money from gas and petroleum. And I thought that was just totally against what we're standing for in this position. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, if you could find out and get back. I thought that, I understand your position is you're not taking any PAC funds, but are the Democrats accepting money from the petroleum industry? Is that the correct interpretation of what I've read? Thank you. I'll take your answer off the air.
Well, I'll have to look into that. I do know that President Obama, when he won in 2008, said that the DNC should stop taking any corporate contributions. These are just facts. When Hillary became the nominee, they reversed that policy, and the DNC started accepting corporate contributions. And we still have DNC members who are lobbyists. When the whole race happened for the head of the DNC, I and several others said, regardless of who wins, we need to make sure that the DNC is not accepting corporate contributions, PAC contributions, and no lobbyist should be a member of the DNC. We lost that fight, so the current policy is that the DNC does accept contributions from corporations and PACs and has lobbyists as members. Now, I know there was a push to at least limit the contributions from oil and gas companies. I think we should limit all corporate contributions, but at the very least, let's limit oil and gas. I don't know how that turned out. You may be right that initiative lost.
It was passed last week. The Democratic Party for Tom Perez proposed it, and it passed on Friday.
So now they aren't taking the oil and gas.
Now they are taking.
They are taking it.
Correct.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's unconscionable. I don't understand what world we're living in if we're taking that money. I mean, the whole thing, and you don't have to be an idealist to understand that PAC and lobbyist money and corporate money, and taking that is terrible politics. I mean, even Conor Lamb, who's far more moderate than I, ran against taking corporate money. Trump ran against the donor class. His whole thing was, I'm so rich, I'm not going to need this money. There is a sense out there that political process has become corrupt. And just from a sheer political perspective, I would think we wouldn't want to be affiliated with that kind of money. So I need to look more into it, but I can't logically think of a reason, even politically, that we would do something like that. It's really outrageous.
We just have 35 seconds till the break. Could it be that, you know, with the destruction of the unions, I mean, this was the rationale for the Democratic Leadership Council back in 91, was that, you know, Reagan has been so effective at destroying the unions, and the unions historically were the largest funders of the Democratic Party. We have to look elsewhere. And the answer back then for Bill Clinton and his friends was go to the insurance companies and the banks, because they're clean industries. Is this an indication of financial problems in the DNC?
Well, it could be, but, you know, Bernie Sanders shows the entire nation that you can raise $230 million in $27 increments. So I think it's laziness that we're not trying to get grassroots funding. There's an alternative way to do it.
Amen. Congressman Ro Khanna taking your calls for the hour. We'll be back with more right after this. Congressman Ro Khanna, the vice chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, representing the 17th District of California in the United States House of Representatives, taking your calls for the day. And Steve in Houston, Texas, listening on Sirius XM. Hey, Steve, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm well.
Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Congressman, right now we're in an unusual situation. We have a fifth vote on the Supreme Court, almost in place. But right now we have a 4-4 split. We have a really major constitutional issue, which is we have foreign election hacking electronically, which is something that the founders of the Constitution could not possibly have considered. And there's one way to absolutely ensure that the Russians don't hack this election or hack the voter rolls, which is to require that everything be done on paper, to have hand-counted paper ballots and to have printed voter rolls. I'm wondering if anyone in Congress is thinking, on the Democratic side and the progressive side, is thinking about filing a lawsuit in district court in order to ensure that this election is not hacked and that the votes can be accurately counted.
That's a fair question. It's a good question. Mark Pocan, who's the chair of the Progressive Caucus, has introduced a bill to have paper ballots and safe counting, but you're right to point out that in a Democratic minority, that's not going to go anywhere. I'm happy to talk to Mark or leadership about such a step, because I do worry about the counting, and it may be smart to preemptively go to court. So it's a thoughtful suggestion that I'll take up with some of the leaders.
Yeah, Senator Bill Nelson is saying that the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, a Republican, has told him that the Russians are already inside the Florida voting system and have the capacity to have the capacity to flip elections or modify the voting rolls. Is that something that is widely known among members of Congress? I mean, it was reported last week, but it really didn't seem to catch fire the way I frankly suspected it would.
I read the same reports, but it's something, I mean, we're on recess, so I haven't had a chance to talk to colleagues, but it's a scary, scary situation. And it should be a situation that is, frankly, bipartisan. I mean, you think of other countries trying to subvert elections in a way that wouldn't help Republicans. So the fact that Republicans aren't appalled that a foreign power may be tampering with the very result of the election is mind-boggling. But, the caller is correct. Maybe the courts are our last resort on this.
Yeah. Congressman Ro Khanna with us for the hour, taking your calls. We'll be back right after this news break here at the bottom of the hour. We get calls right now from Wisconsin, New York, Maryland, Colorado, Minnesota, all over the country for Congressman Connor. We'll get to you in just a moment.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
You can reach Congressman Ro Khanna. You can tweet him at Rep. Ro Khanna. His website, Khanna, K-H-A-N-N-A, .house.gov. Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Program. Congressman Ro Khanna taking your calls for the hour. He's the vice chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He represents the 17th District of California in Washington, D.C. at the U.S. House of Representatives. And Dave in Buffalo, New York, you are on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Thank you, Congressman Khanna and Tom. Congressman, did you know that the perfect fire cyber wall has been developed for our voting machines? It's called mail-in voting only. Washington State does it, and they have a participation rate of 78%, and it's growing. What's yours? And the advantages, what are some of the advantages to mail-in voting only? One, if it doesn't come to my home in the mail, I can make the determination by a certain date whether I've been pulled off the voting rolls or not. Two, I don't have to leave my couch. Three, if there's bad weather like fires in your neighborhood or bad weather like snowstorms in mine, I don't have to be concerned about the weather taking away my vote. It's not affecting it. Three, if there is broken down or too few machines, voting machines, in poor and black neighborhoods, that doesn't affect our vote. And three, if you don't trust the mail, you can send the your vote in by return registered receipt for a couple dollars, and you're guaranteed at least it got there. Sir, we need to move in this direction now. What say you?
I'm a big fan of mail-in voting. California does that as well. We have about a four-week window where people can mail back ballots. It's increased the participation rate for all the reasons you say. I don't think it's sufficient, though, in terms of the vote tabulation and security on that. I mean, you still have voting machines that are counting those ballots, and I think there has to be some safeguard of keeping the paper ballot or some other safeguard to assure people that there's not tampering. But in terms of allowing people to vote by mail, I think that makes a lot of sense and should be expanded.
Dominic in Baltimore, Maryland. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hi, Congressman Khanna. Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Seeing you on CNN with me and Turner. That was a breath of fresh air. I really needed that the other day. You did a great job.
I appreciate that.
I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. You see we are in the headlines today, again, as another officer has brutally beat a African-American man. I'm advocating for Ben Jealous for governor. We have a lot of Republicans and Democrats in the state that are against Ben Jealous. And I would like to know, how can I reach out myself to the African-American vote, mostly the women, the churchgoers? They vote Democrat all the time, but they never really vote progressive. And I think they really identify with the progressive message.
Well, I appreciate it. I think Ben Jealous is terrific, both his leadership at the NAACP, his advocacy during the Bernie campaign, and I think he is a terrific choice in Maryland. I would just say, grassroots organizing makes a huge difference, and letting people know the stakes of the election. I mean, for example, on police brutality, we're probably going to have a vote in Congress about whether we can change the standard from just being reasonableness to a standard that says only if absolutely necessary. Well, that would make a big difference. Or if Ben Jealous is elected and can change the standard in Maryland, that would make a big difference. And I don't think there's a single person in this country who can afford to be apathetic about politics at this moment. So I would keep trying, but you're absolutely right that a lot of the election and his chances depend on the turnout.
Bill in Lakewood, Colorado. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hi. The Republicans are dumping a lot of money into the governor's race here. Right now, the TV ads are 10 to 1 Republican over Democrat, and they're attacking the Democrat on two things. One is they're saying he's going to turn Colorado into radical California with its, quote, failed policies. And the other is that the Democrat is for national single payer, like Medicare for All, and they're attacking him on that, saying it's going to cost trillions of dollars for government takeover of health care. They'll double our taxes. And what they're not saying is that the trillions of dollars we would save in not paying premiums to private insurance companies, which are ripping us off. And I'm just concerned because so far the Democrats aren't countering any of this. And it, especially the health insurance thing, because it's such a critical issue now. And I don't know how to get the Democrats more money, but it seems...
Whoop. I'm sorry. That was my fault. I just accidentally dumped our caller. I was trying to get a piece of video here. This is Congressman Khanna. This is an ad for Sean. I'm going to play this audio out of my computer. This is an ad for against a Democrat running in. I don't have the state, but here is the piece.
I approve this message. Who is the Jared Golden behind this T-shirt? A radical liberal politician. His risky scheme will end Medicare as we know it. Golden's healthcare scheme? Massive costs. Altering Medicare while its future is in doubt. Over $32 trillion in higher costs and enormous job-killing tax increases to pay for it. Jared Golden. Too radical. Too risky for Medicare.
See, I think this is the new template that the Republicans are using, Congressman. Your thoughts on how the Democrats should fight back against it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just so intellectually bankrupt. It's appalling, and I appreciate the caller about Colorado. I mean, here are the facts. The facts are that currently health care costs this country $3.4 trillion, is going to increase by conservative estimates to $5.6 trillion. That totals a $49 trillion cost over the next 10 years. And Medicare for All, they're right, would cost $32 trillion. But that's a $17 trillion savings. And the savings is basically instead of being ripped off paying Aetna your premium and allowing the Aetna CEO to get $32 million a year, you now are basically paying a much less of a fee for Medicare. And so I think we need to have effective ads saying, you know, you're getting ripped off and cheated by these private insurance companies that are taking your money. That's costing our country $49 trillion to line the pockets of these rich CEOs, and we're going to make give you a better choice, which is to have much more affordable health care that's going to save the government money and save you money. But I think we have to get our messaging right and be on air taking on these lies.
Roy in Minneapolis, listening on Minnesota's Progressive Talk, AM 950. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
AM 950. Yeah, this is Lawrence from St. Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lawrence. Okay, you're on the air. I don't know what happened here, but go for it.
No problem at all. Earlier, the Congress was talking about we need to have counter actions to their racist actions. I submit to you, Congressman, and you can feel free to answer this, that the onus of proving or squashing racism is not on the Republicans. The onus of proving racism is indeed on the Democrats. So until we get a Democrat that's willing to stand on his feet and say, I will declare the Ku Klux Klan and the alt-right a racist terrorist organization, until we can get one Democrat to do that, you guys are just talking around in circles. You're really placating these guys. They don't care about anything. And Congressman, you just mentioned that you said you were going to give us facts about the deficit facts. You just stated some facts. And I also submit to you, they don't care about any of that. What they care about is preserving white privilege. And until you can get a Democrat to stand on his feet and say, we're gonna make this country equal for everybody, your white privilege may be diminished, but you will have equal rights, just like the brother next to you. Until you can have a Democrat say that, you guys are no better than the Republicans. Your opinion, sir.
Well, I respect your passion. I think there are many Democrats who would say that the Ku Klux Klan and some of these alt-right groups are racist. I mean, I don't think that I certainly would say that, and I think there'd be a lot of my colleagues who would say that. I do think, though, that... deep down, the Democrats, in my view, when you move race relations forward, it's through some inspiration as well. And you look at Dr. King, or you look at a more modern example with Barack Obama, who tried to appeal to the better angels of her nature. I
I guess I'm young enough and optimistic enough to still think that that over the long run will work. And the reason that I have so much hope is these kids. I mean, when I see these kids, the Parkland kids or kids I've taught or young people around this country, they're far better about racial issues, and they get it far more than older generations. And I have a great optimism that they're ultimately going to win on those issues.
Congressman, is there any doubt in your mind that if instead of Heather Heyer being killed last year, it had been one of the right-wing demonstrators in Virginia and they had been killed by progressive counter-protesters, that the Republican Party right now would be declaring us as terrorists?
No. I mean, I think you're right. They do demagoguery better, and I certainly think we need to have clarity, as the caller said, and call racism out when it's racism, and not try to be too cute or be youthful about it. But I agree with you. I mean, the Republicans have this false equivalency, and they will throw terrorism out at the first time if one of their protesters gets attacked.
Yeah. Congressman O'Connor taking your calls for the hour. We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman O'Connor in just a moment. It's 45 minutes past the hour here on the Tom Hartman Program. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Congressman O'Connor's website, Khanna, K-H-A-N-N-A, .house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Ro Khanna. And welcome back. David, watching Free Speech TV in Lake Isabella, California. Hey, David, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hey, how you doing, Tom? And Congressman, and Tom, thank you so much for what you do. I think that it's incredibly important.
My pleasure, David, but your phone is you know, you need to get your microphone right in front of your mouth and keep talking and ask your question. Thank you.
Sorry about that. That should be better. Hey, you said something a minute ago about why things don't catch fire, or you were wondering, well, I got an answer, with voters or the media. And, you know, humans are emotional creatures. That's what we run on. And I would submit to you that John Kerry and Michael Dukakis lost because they don't appeal to our emotions. And, you know, you guys up there, Congressman, you're our voice. You're fighting to save the planet and democracy. So if you can't get passionate about it, you know, don't expect us to get behind you guys. You know, I'm sick of Dukakis Democrats. I think that you can have the best policies in the world, and unless you're like Avenatti, you know, you're going to lose. And so I would just say that channel Ted Kennedy, make your commercials with passion. When you get in front of the media, you know, get up there and yell like Jim Jordan on the Republican side, or we're going to lose. And you're fighting for everything. So that's my comment.
Well, I certainly hear you about the passion and the anger and the need to be to recognize this is an extraordinary moment in this country's history. And I, you know, I think people, when you hear Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or others, you see their anger at what's happening. And so I do think there are people who are channeling that passion. And I agree with you. Look, I'm not piling on Dukakis. I think he was the son of immigrants. His political rise was pretty remarkable, but he didn't have a vision. I mean, it was more technocratic. I guess the only place I would challenge you is to say there's emotion that's angry, and then there's emotion that's inspiring. Our country has responded to both, and I think we need to have both in the Democratic Party. I mean, just because the Trump administration is all about anger, divisiveness, and fear doesn't mean that we don't have some inspiration about bringing America together and what America can be. At our best, leaders who have appealed to that emotion have also succeeded.
Congressman, we just have 30 seconds to the break, not enough time for another call. What are the main messages you think the Democratic Party should be promoting that would inspire that kind of passion?
Well, I think health care, Medicare for all, and saying, look, you need health care from the day you were born. And it is ridiculous that people are dying and people are not getting the care in this country, and that we're burdening our businesses with that kind of cost. I think getting rid of corporate money and PAC money and having a democracy free from special interests, making sure that we have higher education be tuition free, whether it's vocational school or whether it's some form of college, so your kids can get the opportunity to have a job. Making sure we have a jobs program, an opportunity for a higher paying job than making the $7.50 current minimum wage. So I think we can have a proactive, positive agenda that will get people inspired.
Amen. We'll be right back with more of Congressman Khanna right after this. Congressman Ro Khanna taking your calls. Brian in Fort Collins, Colorado, you are on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Thank you so much. I just want to echo the caller about, we need to use, in certain contexts, passion is really essential. And listening to you, Congressman Khanna, I think that you've got that passion. And so I appreciate you, Tom, and the Congressman giving voice to the little people out here. But what I called about was Yemen and the Congressman's reintroducing a resolution. I think he called it a War Powers Resolution. I'm a leader of Progressive Democrats of America, and so I just wanted to ask, will the Congressman be pushing and looking for co-sponsors through the Congressional Progressive Caucus, which Progressive Democrats of America prides itself on staying in close contact with, so maybe we can put some grassroots support behind his resolution?
Well, I appreciate both points. On your first point, I appreciate the kind words, but I'll say this. In today's world, a citizen has more power, in my view, than they ever had. If you are out there with a tweet that goes viral, with a Facebook message that goes viral, certainly Tom Hartman has more influence than most members of Congress. And when he says something, people listen. So don't underestimate your own ability through your passion in the grassroots to bring change. I think that's far more likely to bring change than just relying on members of Congress. And I appreciate it on Yemen. Look, last time we tried, there was not much appetite among other members of Congress. They said, well, we aren't in an active conflict. We're just providing the fuel for Saudi planes. It's not our troops that are involved. Well, if we weren't providing the fuel for the Saudi planes, people wouldn't be dying in Yemen. So I think it's quibbling over a technicality to say that our troops aren't in harm's way. And if you read the War Powers Resolution, it is for active engagement in a hostility, even if it's not ground troops. It was made in response to our creep into Vietnam, the War Powers Resolution. So I'm going to reintroduce it. This time I think there's a greater appetite in Congress. And my hope is to get every Democratic member, whether they're in the Progressive Caucus or not, and some Republicans to join this.
Renee in Buffalo, New York. You're on the air with Congressman Ro Khanna.
I just wanted to know why corporations don't back single payer. Wouldn't they be beneficiaries of that plan?
You're absolutely right, ma'am. They would be huge beneficiaries, not the insurance companies, but ordinary businesses. Many of the Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, they're getting killed with the health care costs. It's putting them at a competitive disadvantage, and this would free them up actually to be able to do a lot of other things if we had a cheaper insurance, which we would through the government. So the Republicans have made this argument that this is not economically smart, but they're just lying. I mean, this would actually be pro-business. And you know what the proof of that is? I've been one of the strongest champions for Medicare for All, and I represent a district that has Apple, Google, Intel, and some of the richest companies in the world. So it should give you a sense of the politics of this issue.
Judy in Denver, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Is that me?
That's
did you.
You
say Judy? I didn't hear.
I did, yeah. You're on the air, Judy.
Oh, thank you. I think we need to go for, especially for this election, paper ballots and hand counting. The machines use a computer program controlled by the Republicans, easy to manipulate. Wisconsin election integrity, an organization in Wisconsin looked at the 2016 election and found that votes were not counted because by the machines. So even if we have paper ballots and use the machines to count the votes, it can still be manipulated. And the machines are proven to be hackable, at least a lot of them, by 10-year-olds were able to hack in within 10 minutes. That was a report yesterday that I heard. But the Democratic Party is also accepting anybody, and they will help anybody that joins the party to run for office, no matter what their beliefs are. And we had the governor of Virginia that ran as a Democrat, and as soon as he took office, went back to being a Republican. I see this as a big problem for the party, and one of the reasons I won't donate to the party because of who they're supporting.
Judy, is there a question in there for the congressman?
The elections, yeah, we have a problem with.
Actually,
I
got it, Judy. I just noticed we only have 30 seconds left, Congressman. I'm sorry.
Well, Judy, really quickly, you raise a great point on the paper ballots. What I've said to my colleagues is, look, we don't know whether hacking is happening or not. Even if you believe that hacking isn't happening, and I believe there has been hacking and things are compromised, wouldn't it be worth a small investment in having paper ballots just to reassure people and regain the public trust? Don't we want people to believe in the validity of our democracy? And I think it's malpractice that we're not trying to restore that trust.
Thank you. Congressman Ro Khanna, thank you so much for being with us today, sir.
Thank you. I always enjoy it.
Great. I do, too. Thank you so much. You can find Congressman Ro Khanna's website at Khanna, khanna.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Ro Khanna. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.